get up and get your grandma out of here. It's time for Puck Off. Andy Vaccaro, Joe Bartnik, producer Aaron, and we have game five coming up in the playoffs, guys. It's kind of a, I don't want to say a surprising win by the Canadians, but one that keeps the series alive. And what's up, guys?
Hey, Frage. Well, you would think it is. It wouldn't have been a surprise. I would expect them to have the gentleman's sweep. You would expect them to win one game at home. You thought they might stand up.
Yeah.
But when they were down a man with a minute left, we have a four-minute penalty kill.
Right?
I never would have figured. And I actually thought it was almost cruel that Tampa didn't score with a minute left in the game to make everyone wait another 20 minutes and then bury the dagger.
Well, interesting ending there. And kind of a surprise that Tampa Bay wasn't able to score. Had the man advantage for 4 minutes, including part of overtime.
Yeah, 3 minutes of overtime. So they were rested. The ice was fresh. Suzuki had the best chance of anybody.
Yeah. And Josh Anderson's playing really well. We got to give him some props.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they're waiting for turnovers. The Canadians are kind of sitting back in the neutral zone, and when something happens, they're streaming down that right side. Like, the chances they're getting are pretty good. They're getting outchanced and outshot, but I really like their chances. I consistently see them on breaks, and which is something you don't see against Tampa a whole lot. That's right. You got to give Montreal credit. I mean, I was saying, you know, it's kind of a shame the 18th best team the regular season is playing for the cup, and it's a little weird. But they're battling. They're fighters.
Yeah, they are.
And that Deneau is like changing the way I think everyone's going to look at him moving forward. It was like, before it was like, is this guy a legitimate, you know, number two center? Now I think he's proven he is.
Well, and you know, they're starting to hit the stars of Tampa Bay a little bit. They're going after Point and Cooch a little bit. They started playing physical, and I think that's their plan, right? To slow those guys down a little, at least try to.
Frage, excellent point. I thought that was the first game when they looked like the nasty habitants.
Yeah,
was on forget what night, Monday night. Yeah,
yeah.
I thought that was the first game. I mean, Weber lined up Point. I'm surprised Point walked away from that.
That was it. Yeah,
yeah. You know,
and Weber can hit you.
Oh, Weber's a man. Yeah, that was their first nasty kind of playoff game in this whole series. You know, they were really taking way more liberties against other teams. Not Islanders liberties, but, you know, just hard checking.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know they probably said F it. They probably were afraid to go on the penalty kill. But by game four, you're like, you know what, well, we got to hit some people.
They're just frustrated anyway. So
yeah, it worked out. Their kill was good.
Well, they've had a good kill, you know.
So I think, Joe, the strategy they've had, they've got to stay with. I mean, it's the only game you won so far. Yeah. So you got to stick with it. I still think that, you know, at the end of the day, given Tampa, you know, a couple more power plays a game, if you play like that, it's going to end up burning you. But
eventually it will, don't you think?
You know, yeah. They got no other choice.
When I think it was huge, too, they put Gustafson and the other older guy on the bench, and they brought in Romanov and the other guy.
And Romanov played well.
He had a goal. Yeah. He's a big body. He clears some people out of the way. He's got young legs. I thought that was a huge move.
And smart move.
They benched Kaki and Nemi, which is kind of weird because he's a young kid.
And kinda, we like him. And
he's kind of like, you know, you don't want to have any bad blood come negotiation time for contract. Well, you didn't play me in game four. But Evans, who, you know, he's okay. But, I mean, that was kind of a weird switcheroo.
It was.
Kulak came in. Kulak always reminds me of the untouchable, like, Joe Kulak. But Kulak played a good game. Those two back-end defensemen played much better than Gustafson was doing.
Well, actually, Ducharme made some interesting moves there, and they paid off.
They really did.
Yeah.
He kind of had to. I mean, not that he's going anywhere. But, you know, no one – well, I guess that was actually the other guy. But he made some interesting moves.
Richardson.
Yeah, Richardson made some interesting moves in game two, I'm thinking about.
Well, you got to do something, you know. When you're down 3-0, got to try something.
No, you know what? And we said last week they weren't going to quit. There's 5-10 leaders on that team. But it would have been real easy to quit in game four. Yeah, it would have been real easy to quit when you're down – when you're down a man in overtime.
Got your captain in the box for 4 minutes.
Yeah, they didn't.
No.
You know, more power to them.
Got to give them some props.
The biggest problem is they just can't equal the firepower and the puck control. Like, they defensively as a unit can play pretty well, and they can you know, keep Tampa at bay and keep them to the outside the best anyone can keep them to the outside. And then they have Price for when they can't keep them to the outside. So I think that they're playing him really well. It's just when, you know, they need Anderson to score a goal almost every game to win this series.
Yeah, that's probably true. Let's face it, Tampa Bay could have won in regulation with Cooch hitting that post.
They hit three pipes. They asked Cooper what he thought of the game. He goes, well, we shouldn't hit as many pipes.
Yeah. By the way, I got to say something about Cooper. We always praise him, you know, as being a great coach. After that game, he's just so calm in the interview, post-game interview. He's just not flustered ever.
You know, there's no way to be upset when you're up 3-1.
I guess that's true.
And you have.
Yeah. but still, his demeanor is.
100%. You know, but I think that's all about experience. You know, after you get embarrassed by the Blue Jackets and you come back and win, I think you feel pretty bulletproof about not worrying about being down 3-1. I mean, a lot of people wanted his head after that series.
Yeah.
And I have to look at it. He has won a Memorial Cup, he's won. Stanley Cup. He won an AHL. I think he even won an ECHL. He has this ridiculous. Every time he's been a head coach somewhere, they've won the championship. So he's just been there before so many times. And being up 3-1, I don't think it's going to shake him at all.
Yeah, well, yeah. I believe they've said that last year, right? He won every single trophy you can win.
Yeah, he's won as the head coach. So it's like he has this incredible stature to him. That's why I think he is the best coach in hockey.
Yeah. I think so.
And I also, not only is he a good coach X and O's wise, he, you know, all those egos can't be easy to coach. They just can't be. They all can't be Tim Duncan's.
Well, that's part that's part of being a great coach, right? The top guys can always do that. You know, the Phil Jacksons and people like that, if they have all those great stars, that is part of it, balancing out the egos.
And Phil's kind of Phil probably coached the biggest ego ever in sports. And he also was all three, Shaq, Jordan, and Kobe. Kobe, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was really good at it.
Probably did. But, you know, it used to be the egos were just squashed by the biggest swing and schlong. And, the Giants had LT, but Parcells, no one was talking to him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's
guys. Lombardi.
That's
what
I mean.
Yeah,
you're not gonna... the football one is, I can't think of it now. Well, LT, but who am I trying to think of? Like Scottie Bowman. You know, it used to be if you're a superstar, well, Scottie Bowman will put you in your place.
Sure he would.
You know, that's why the Olympic teams always had to have, like, Chuck Daly had to be. You had to have someone that's just a tyrant.
Exactly.
And nowadays, that doesn't work anymore because the players make so much money that he can't be a tyrant.
Well, it doesn't seem like Cooper's style anyway. He's more of a smooth operator.
Yeah.
He is, but he did bench Stammer not that long ago, and he does do things like that, and it's because he has the respect of his team, and I think he is the perfect mixture. And there's not a lot of guys that can put their foot down, bench a $10 million player, right?
Captain.
Yeah, captain. Yeah,
would be Hall of Famer.
That played one game to come back last year to try and win for bench that guy and not lose him. That shows you the kind
at
of...
At all.
Yeah.
Stammer's played incredibly tough.
Yeah, he's done
back-checking.
Well. Played a great series.
Yeah, really has.
And that's the point of benching people is when they come back, they're better. But it doesn't happen
all the time.
But it takes a great coach.
And a lot of coaches are afraid to bench a big name like that.
Well, you know what? I don't know Cooper whatsoever, and I barely watch his press conference, and they don't have DirecTV anymore. But he seems to be one of those guys, without being a jerk about it, you know he's the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, he's smart.
But doesn't come off as a jerk.
Yeah, that's true.
But you just respect he knows the game. Like, not to, you can't look at too many coaches and say, hey, he knows more than Cooper.
No. he's a smart guy.
Besides the fact, Cooper, no matter what he knows, I mean, Dave Blashill could coach that team. seriously. I mean, that team, I couldn't think of who I'm trying to – last week, Hackstall, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, I mean, come on. That team is like –
But I think that's why you need a great coach to coach a great team. Like we talked about Phil Jackson, how important it was to have him around those egos. I think that at a certain point, like you'll pile up regular season wins, and I'm looking at you, Toronto. You'll pile up the regular season wins, but when it comes time to win, and you got an all-star team, they've come up short constantly. I think a coach is a big push sometimes.
I agree with that, but I also think that Breezebois getting. Getting Coleman, who I coveted, I will say this, I coveted him not as much as Miles Wood, but not as much, but I did from the Devils. Coleman, Goudreau, I saw Goudreau play a ton with the Sharks, and I don't know that he was do that. But Pat Maroon.
How about Patty getting that goal?
That was just huge. Where you know what?
A great goal.
That was just the huge, you know, F you, Tortorella. You're not pushing anybody around. You know,
that was great to see him get that.
And they got McDonough. McDonough, what a leader.
He's been great.
They basically stole the Ranger captain.
Yes,
it's hard to steal captains.
Yep, he's been.
Usually you have to overpay by $10 million like Vegas did. I mean, they really stole.
That was a steal, and he's played well in this series.
He's played incredible.
Throughout the playoffs.
He's played incredible in this series. That's what we talked about with Nate last week. How the hell was Sorokin, you know, on the bottom six pairing?
Their defense, they're loaded.
And Tyler Johnson,
revival.
No one wanted him this year. He was waived. Nobody wanted him. He's making less than the Nuge. Well, he's making less than Erickson X signed for.
Again, I give credit to Cooper for not giving up on him.
Yeah, I mean, I know it was convenient that
you got to give credit to. The salary cap circumvention that they pulled is going to go down in history as good as. I mean, they didn't have to pay for maybe the best player in the NHL right this second, Kucherov. They didn't have to pay for him for this season as far as it goes on the books for cap. So it's like they got an immense amount of relief. They've had it a little bit easy. Like, I'm a little jealous this didn't happen when the Penguins had their team, because maybe they could have kept their team together for 4 years that won those two in a row. Like, maybe they could
have somebody sit out.
If this had happened now, because right now, if you have a good core, it's never been easier to keep your core together for these next 2 or 3 years than it is right now with these rules or these COVID rules. So these past 2 years have given teams a chance to keep their cores together, and Tampa has just had by far the best core. Well, so it's benefiting them.
And well, I think you called it early in the season, Andy, when you said that they, you know, they're sitting him out. That could be a plus later on.
It's a huge plus, yeah.
Yeah.
It's still ridiculous that he came in and dominated like he did.
Well, to play that well with that much time
this
off.
This is about the NHL making a rule with holes in it, not about Kucherov not playing well or Tampa even doing anything wrong. They played by the rules. And Kucherov's amazing, and he didn't miss a step. So it's like, it's fine, but it's just they
that
did.
That is pretty amazing.
He didn't miss a step, and even if you go as far to say as, like I said, there has to be a thing where you can't practice with the team if you're on the long-term IR. You have to be practicing with high school kids.
Did he practice with the team?
He had to have been.
Yeah.
Because maybe he is Mario Lemieux, but how do you come off?
And look that good.
On the number one power play.
Yeah.
And I mean, thread the needle. And
those passes of his are just,
In the playoffs. You're not going against, you know, the Buffalo Sabres.
No, he's got long passes right on point. I mean, he's playing amazingly.
Yeah. I mean, but if he's able to practice with, you know, with the local group of you know, college kids, junior players, things like that, like, if he's that good, maybe he did get his skill set back. I don't know.
No, but I'm saying, like, you can't be allowed to travel and practice. Obviously, he practiced with the team for a month.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think you could ever circumvent. I don't think it's fair if someone's out for the season that he's on your cap. I like that rule that he's not on the cap. But he has to not be actually healthy enough to play. Or at least he has to be sitting out.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's circumvention and then there's just blatant cheating.
Yeah.
You know, well, I think it's a little bit of both in Tampa. I don't think they're doing anything wrong, but I think the rule has to be a little tightened.
No, for sure. And again, though, this is a 2 years of imperfect rules and imperfect things. The standings were imperfect. The scheduling was imperfect. And you know, the back-to-back playoff games, that's imperfect. So it's just a symptom of what's going on.
But I always look in two respects. Would I want that rule for my team? Where, hey, look, if Gino's out till next April, I wouldn't be able to spend $9 million.
Yeah.
And the other way, I always think, would I like it if the Flyers did it? That's why every time when the puck goes over the glass and someone complains, I'm like, the Flyers did that, I want to shoot somebody.
I know.
So it's like, you know, it's like.
Yeah. With that rules, I never remember anyone doing that.
I remember the Flyers doing it a couple times.
Really?
Yeah.
I really can't remember a defenseman that was in trouble and like they knew he just took a slap shot or something to get it over the boards. I know it happened, but I remember seeing a wrister.
Like I was probably Therrien, just some bum for the like just over the glass. There we go.
Now you mentioned Gino. Would that be something you see other teams doing now? If you got a guy that's banged up, That's one of your stars. You keep him out the regular part of the regular season. Get your cap.
Well, I think – I don't know the whole thing about long-term. And you can go in long-term in November and then come back in April. So, but I think you really have to be injured, though. I mean, you know, so Gino's having surgery. He already had it 2 weeks ago. I mean, you just don't put anybody on long-term because they're out.
Well, this is where we need, like, Gary Bettman, a lawyer and a mathematician, because it was different, too, this year because of the 56-game schedule – the math got weird. They gave more relief to having somebody out. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, like this year was the first year where they were sending people down the minors to accrue cap space.
Yeah.
Which I had I don't understand. That's almost like
Well, they're playing with it, with the rules.
Right. Yeah.
I think it was like certain people didn't have to clear in certain directions. And it was, again, a way to give them a team some cap relief that were up against it. They were expecting the cap to at least go up, you know, a few million.
So what do we think here? Do we think that I'm actually, you know, I'm not trying to make any enemies in Tampa. I have tons of friends, good friends in Tampa. And I kind of, even though I kind of don't want them to win back-to-back, I just love watching greatness. And the Canadians I liked as a kid. I have no dog in this fight, I'm trying to say. I like to see Montreal win tonight just to make Game 6 interesting. It makes it like it wasn't a crime Montreal made the finals. No crime to losing 6 to anybody. Well, what are your thoughts? Do you think it's anything? It's going to be a blowout 6-1, which could easily be.
Could easily be that. Yeah, I feel like you do. I'm rooting for Tampa Bay in this series, but I want to see. I just love these games. I want to see it go as many games as possible. It's a bummer night when there's not a game on. I love being able to watch these games. They're exciting. I've got all my friends are texting me. And so I'd like to see as many games as possible. If Montreal can win tonight, I think that's cool. And it does make things interesting.
Yeah, and before I get to Andy's answer, I would say a lot of media people, I guess a lot of Pittsburgh people, they're down on this series and this hockey. It's like, I think it's been pretty good.
It's been fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I know these guys love hockey, probably some more than me. I don't know why they're down on it. I don't know. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, it's a potential sweep, maybe, and that's why. I mean, it looked like it was going to be. But you know what? It's been really good hockey.
I think it's been very interesting hockey. Yeah.
I'm down on it.
That's why I wanted to hear your opinion.
To answer the question quick, I'm rooting for more hockey, but I think Tampa deserves to win this series, and I think that they will win it tonight. But a big thing to me and why I think it's disappointing, and it is disappointing to me, because I think that it should be the two best teams left playing, like say when it gets shook down to the final eight, right? The two best teams out of that, like I want to see them play, and I don't think we came even close to that. I think that Vegas, even though they blew it, and so let's not count them because they blew it, but Colorado, you know, there are so many teams that just lost series where in a normal year, in a normal setup, that their road would have been a little easier, and we would have eventually maybe seen them. And again, making a road easier for a team that I know I'm making a lot of excuses, but I would like to see the two of the top five best rosters play. I said it last week. This was Montreal Canadiens were the 18th best team statistically as far as winning percentage and points wise in the NHL this year. The top 16 in a normal year make the playoffs. This is not one of the best teams in hockey. The score differential, although kind of tight, is not telling the story of this series so far. I think this is a very good team versus an average team, and to me, that's a letdown.
You know what? I get that, and I see your point on that. But also, to me, it makes it interesting because it is a Cinderella. It makes, you know, all of a sudden this team that really didn't play that well in the regular season does have a chance to win it all, and to me, that makes it an interesting dynamic.
I think it's way more interesting because the Cinderella is the Montreal Canadiens. If the Cinderella was the Minnesota Wild, I don't think it would be nearly as compelling. But when you bring out, you know, Patrick Waugh and Jacques Lemaire and everybody else and
all that history,
Guy Lafleur, it makes it. I mean, I definitely think the ghost pushed the goalpost a few times up there. Like I put in the video for everyone to see. Check it out. Don't blame Montreal. Blame Vegas for being dogs. Blame Winnipeg for being – blame Toronto for being a dog, you know? I mean, that's really what it comes down to because Tampa beat everyone. Tampa beat three really good teams.
Good teams, yeah.
It's hard to discount when people discount, well, they won last one in the bubble and this one they're taking on Montreal. Well, hell, they beat Florida – They beat the Carolina and they beat the Islanders. I think three top 10 teams in the league.
Those are top teams.
Well, yeah. Tampa deserves to win. I'm just saying that I'd like to see them beat a team that's a little better. And I don't think these games have been incredibly exciting. I think that there's been some good passing and some good offense out of Tampa. But if you're asking me, it's a little bit of a dud of a finals.
Oh, it had been much better to see them play Colorado. That's who I picked. I picked Colorado, Tampa. It had been insane.
Or Vegas. Watching Flower deal with this. And
I would have felt bad for Flower because I think he'd have been lit up. Because I said for all season, I thought Vegas was paper tigers. And it proved the West stunk.
Well, and you said last week I think both you guys did, that the Islanders were better than the Canadiens.
Oh, well, I don't even think it's close.
Yeah.
I think Boston and Pittsburgh are better than the Canadiens.
Well, I think just about everyone's better than the Canadiens, other than the fact that the Canadiens win these games. You know, other than the fact they won, I mean.
They had a walk in the
first 2 rounds.
But you didn't
think that game 4 was an exciting game? I thought that was an exciting game.
I thought it was great. And what was really cool was it was on NBC. Right when the 11 o'clock news nationwide's coming on, and what? It's going to overtime.
Yeah.
5-on-4. It doesn't get bigger than that.
It was exciting.
Against Canadians versus the best team in the league. If hockey went a commercial, that's it.
Yeah. No, but and I do think that, you know, you can't blame the Canadians for being the division they're in, but that I think that they, I don't want to call it a walk, but they, because they had to beat Toronto in 7. But, I mean, Toronto, that was some of those uninspired play. We had a point out of Matthews. You had no goals out of Marner. Joe Thornton is your biggest power play threat. He's a million. Like, and then you play a Winnipeg team that was basically on stilts all year. We were waiting for them to fall apart, and then they did. And, you know, then they play a Vegas who, in 7 games, Vegas plays terrible. And it takes them 7 to beat them. I don't think they had that hard a road. They just didn't.
You know what it comes down to? It comes to the BS of the Canadian government. Is what it comes down to. Because if it was a normal playoff, if they just let the playoffs be normal, there's no way they would have been in. There's no way they would have won.
Well, normal year, they're not even in it. Like a normal structured year, they're not even in the playoffs.
But I don't even mean that so much as like if it was just like they, you know, it wasn't received. If it was like if Toronto had a full house, they wouldn't have won Game 7 in Toronto.
Oh yeah, if the fans are there and stuff.
Yeah, but Toronto did fold, and so did Vegas.
Yeah,
you know what? I mean, we talked about this all last week for 20 minutes, but I mean, I just don't think Toronto is built for playoff hockey because of their stupid coach and their stupid GM. Vegas choked.
They both choked, I thought.
Yeah, but I mean, like, look at Toronto. Look how they're built.
Well, you know, with all that firepower.
No, absolutely. But you know what? Maybe get a defenseman that can stop somebody. When his name got hurt, the old guy from the Kings, that crushed them. Then they had no defenseman. Riley can't stop anybody. And T.J. Brody, who's he ever beat? Yeah, Muzzin. Who's T.J. Brody ever beat? Well, you know, they're depending on ancient guys and Mitch Marner, who, you know, I just knocked them over.
Went to sleep.
I mean, and then Winnipeg's a joke. So, you know, I mean, let's face it. They went Montreal. That's why you got to give the man in the red suit, you got to give Bergeron all the credit in the world. He sees the moment. He's like, you know what? We're going to win this freaking division. He knows he can't win a division next. He can't come close next year with Boston, Florida, and Tampa Bay.
Yeah, right. No, that's right. But you know what? Again, for me, the Cinderella factor does work.
I may enjoy it. Maybe some of it is that, hey, this is the only hockey we have. But I love watching Tampa Bay, and I love watching the Blue Blanc and Rouge. It's like, what more do you want?
Well, there's pretty good pageantry before the game up there in Montreal.
Exactly. You know, and Price put on a show. That was the first game we talked last week that Price didn't have to sweat out. He played some hockey.
He played great.
He played
his
ass off.
Yeah, he did.
He played his ass off.
And so is Shea Weber. And so, you know, they've got a couple guys that are playing hard.
And Ducharme, that's what you got to do. You got to put Caulfield with Anderson.
Remember when
that was a great.
They were going to scratch Caulfield?
They did for game one.
That's right.
And then, look, they put him with Anderson. You got to put the young legs together. He put the Foley up on the top line. It was brilliant. Yeah. It really was. It was good. He was good coaching.
Yeah. And they've got some guys for the future. Suzuki's going to be a star.
If he isn't already.
Yeah.
when you're outmatched like that, you got to top load the first line and then have an even, like, sort of defensive spread in the bottom lines. I think that they've done a really good job, and I think that this Duchesne has really earned his stripes. I mean, it was kind of a weird thing. He came in late, but he's done really well. And then Luke Richardson coming in, they've been a really good story. So I hate to dog them, and I want to just get that point in. Montreal has been a good story, and they have won the games. They can't fault who they're playing in the schedule, but it'll be, to me, if they push it to six and it gets interesting, I'll be really rooting for Tampa. I just don't want to.
I think I'm rooting for Tampa too, but yeah.
What do you? I think, thankfully for the NHL, I think this is the, maybe because the Islanders aren't in it, maybe because the Vegas is in it, but I think the referees have not made a difference in this series as they have in the other ones, where it hasn't been like, oh, Josh Anderson is breaking Kucherov's face. Oh, we're letting all that go, but here's a minor trip in the corner.
No, it was pretty even, and they let him hit.
Yeah,
in that last game.
But there hasn't been any shenanigans, as I like to say.
I don't know who the team is, but I think they go with one team now in the finals, right? And it's usually the all-star team of the. So I think it's always called a little bit better in the finals. But I've noticed overall this year that the balance of letting them play is really cool, but then when they call that tiki-tac hook after they've been letting them slug it out in the corners, and all of a sudden somebody kind of raises their stick a little bit, and they call that, that's just so annoying.
There've been a couple of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. You explained that to me. That was a great point you made a couple of weeks ago. I just can't see the blatant cracking the stick over somebody's head, which the Islanders did several times to many key players on three different teams, which is like, you got to call that. I'm sorry.
You think that Shea Weber call was legit?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's bleeding.
He drew blood. Yeah, he did.
I mean, he didn't
But
mean
it didn't
to.
Seem like he didn't mean to.
No, but you got to have control of your stick. You don't have control of your stick. It's 2 minutes. If it goes high, it draws blood. It's 4 minutes. It's just,
yeah, you know. I guess it's
what
it's
I said
the rule,
about
yeah.
What I said about game seven with the Islanders in Tampa. What if Kucherov accidentally high sticks Matt Martin in the corner? And then Barzal and Beauvillier get two win a power play. It's 2-0. You never know. That's one of the weirdest calls in hockey is that.
Yeah.
It's like, oops, well, 4 minutes.
Remember when
Because it could be an oops. You couldn't be really trying to hit the guy. It just happened.
The Penguins were holding on to beat the Rangers in 09. And they were up by like one with you know, maybe 5 minutes left. And Brooksy just takes a chunk of Chris Drury's face off and leaves it on the ice. Referees watching, no hands go up. I Ranger fans, that drives them nuts to this day, because I mean, that would have been a terrible 4 minutes to kill off. But I always remember that non-call, and then the famous, you know, the non-call with when Wayne got a stick high on Gilmore there. There's been a few of those, but for the most part, if you hit a guy late and he's bleeding, they don't like calling anything, but they got to call that.
You kind of got it.
You got it.
Yeah,
it's like the puck over the glass. Like, remember the one time the Penguins had like three in a row against the Capitals?
Oh. And they won that. I was at that game.
Yeah.
And they won it, thank God.
Here's an interesting point. Then we'll do some news and notes and we'll get out of here. A lot of people talking about like, who's the better team? The back-to-back Penguins, back-to-back Tampa Bay. It's been a topic of conversations to a lot of Pittsburgh sports talk. You know, I'm not a homer. I don't really think it's close. I think Tampa's a much better team than the Penguins.
What about those back-to-back Red Wings?
Well, I think the Red Wings are that's a better
that's
team.
The real argument.
That's the real argument.
The Penguins. I love the Penguins.
Yeah,
they did the bend don't break for their cups. You know what I mean? Where they were the better team. They won the cups, but they were bending. They dominated teams at times. Tampa's puck possession. I haven't seen a team, even when they lose games, that can really knock them off the puck.
Well, look at that lineup, 97-98 Red Wings.
Oh, yeah, no, that's an all-star.
That's an argument that can go, that we'd have to revisit and see how many of these guys end up to be Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Like, but it's close. I think that they're very similar.
Yeah, no, that's like an NHL Network summer programming, like you rank the top 10 teams ever. That's like the 77 Canadians, the 98 Red Wings. I mean, that's not even close. I was thinking in my head, I think the 2009 Penguins, who went back-to-back but lost the first run against the Red Wings in 2008, I think that's a much better comparison to the Tampa Bay right now. Because I think if you take out Sid and Gino, I mean, what does 2016 and 17 have? Nothing really compared to Tampa Bay. I mean, well, I like Tampa all the way around better.
They got Phil. Why Phil and Jake in the second one? Well, I'm just saying. Well, if we were to do that, like we'd run out quick because as soon as you get to the third line, like I love Bonino, but I mean, wouldn't you rather have Yanni?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like so as soon as we get the third line center, we're done.
That's what I'm saying. So okay, so you can go Sid, Gino over Cooch and Point. Okay, I'll take Sid Gino over Cooch and Point.
I think so.
Yes. Yeah. That's not even. That's you got to give him that.
Close.
I'm taking Cooch. And Sid, if there's an option of those four,
top 50 guy of all time.
I think Kucherov, and I'm this might be a sin. Kucherov will be remembered as a better player than Gino, and might be right now.
Yeah, but
He's up there.
No shot at Gino. That's not a shot at Gino.
Yeah,
Kucherov is amazing.
But I mean, 4 years ago, Gino was considered the best Russian of all time.
But is Point considered better than?
Point sizes are better than Gino.
Gino, no.
I mean, 4 years ago.
But there's a game tonight. Do you want Gino or Point?
Well, Gino's hurt now.
Well, you say if he wasn't hurt
in 2016,
if it was his,
I'd rather have Gino.
If it was
come on.
Prime Gino, I'd take Gino.
Yeah, Gino. Close Gino 2009 Gino when he won the Conn Smythe. You'd rather have Point than Gino.
Point this year than Gino 2009. That's a great argument, but it's close, and I might go Point.
Gino put a pens on his back. He won the Conn Smythe.
I mean, how many games did Point score in a row? Like
nine,
like
I don't
nine
know.
Or something like that.
But I mean, Gino beat the Red Wings.
Yeah.
All I can say is go home and take a look at that 98 Red Wing line.
Oh, I know.
Compared to anybody.
No, it's Yzerman, Shanny, and Fedorov, and Lindstrom, Trump. I mean, I don't know. Boy, that's a lone hand.
Yeah. I think they are the best.
Yeah, that's why I said it's like against the 77 Canadians.
But we might look back at this Tampa team and go, they were then. Depending on these guys,
they're pretty loaded.
I know I'm a Gino guy, but I mean, 3 years ago, before Ovi won his cup, the Russian Federation said Gino was the best player ever in America, in the Russian, over even Fedorov. Fedorov's my favorite player ever that wasn't a Penguin. So, I mean, you see Gino now, he's a little older, you think he's banged up. Regular Gino. People in Canada say his height is higher than Crosby's. I mean, regular Gino is sick, dude. Regular Gino dominated the playoffs. Point's great on the power play, and Point's a good player.
Point's a good
He's not the horse.
But he's maybe not
the horse
prime
that Gino
was. Yeah.
Prime Gino, when he's galloping through the neutral zone, no one's stopping him. That's like, you know, Russian Lindgren. It's like Fedorov on roids. No, I mean,
yeah, he's a big-bodied Fedorov. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but I still think, I mean, Point is, you know, we're still only the Penguins, that roster, I guess you said it to start off with, it doesn't compare. I think it doesn't compare
because
we're
saying.
Point and Cooch.
But let's just say, we'll take Sid and Gino over Kucherov and Point, but, you know, just barely.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you got the second line guys. Let's say the HBK line. I'd rather have Stamkos, Palat. And
not even close.
Yeah. So then all the other guys, whatever you can say. But then, dude, defense. There's no way the Penguins' defense is anywhere near as good as Tampa Bay's defense.
But
Vasilevskiy's better than Murray and Flower. So the whole debate's ludicrous.
Well, but
other than Sin Gino.
No, but we forgot the really important thing, though, the third and fourth lines. Not even close.
Right. That's what
not
I'm saying.
Even close. That's what I'm saying.
But I think I think that might even be closer, though, than Hedman. Sergachev,
McDonough,
you know.
That's a loaded defense.
Yeah, I mean, and you're comparing it to, some guys that had career years and ended up winning. I mean, you know, Schultze and Tang the first year obviously were great.
I think the bigger comparison is 2009, to be honest with you, because I think that's when Penguins were at their height, and as far as Flower was at his height.
But forward-wise, though, and I'll give you Gino and Sid over everybody right now on Tampa, but maybe not Cooch, but the rest of that, I mean, Gino was playing on a line with Fedotenko and Talbot. That was their second line.
But I thought Fedotenko won a cup in Tampa, though. He was kind of a winner. Third line was Stahl, Cookie, and a hot, what's-his-face? You know, Tyler,
Kennedy.
Yeah. And then they had guys like Shatan playing the fourth line.
But that doesn't compare.
But that's like a Tyler Johnson fourth line. No, I'm just saying. I'm saying Tampa's a better team. All right, let's get the big news in L.A. The Kings signed traded for Victor Arvidsson for a second and a third. I like that trade.
I like that. We've always liked Arvidsson.
I did too.
Speed and veteran presence.
I think it's a great move.
He's tough. He goes in the corners. They have all these centers now. They might have a couple wings for him to play. I think it really jumpstarts them. The Kings are going to go for it next year.
They're not an easy win anymore. They had 2 years of being an easy win, and now that's a hard game in the schedule. The Southern California trip's harder now.
I like Arvidsson. I always
have. That's a nice move.
It's a nice, and second and third, please. Yeah. I'll do that all day.
And they wanted to make a deal, the Preds did, before they had to give him up to Seattle nothing. Yeah.
The other guy that they say going to be they're trying to make a deal for is Hyman in Toronto. And one of the landing spots is the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah. All right.
Did you like Hyman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other rumors I've heard, Duncan Keith to Edmonton.
I keep hearing that.
Yeah. And Nate Schmidt out at Vancouver.
Where would Nate go?
I don't know. Would you guys like him?
No.
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 Didn't work in Vancouver.
But why doesn't Vancouver want him? Who the hell is going to play defense in Vancouver? They couldn't stop anybody last. He wants out. But, yeah. I mean, Vancouver turned into a dumpster fire in like 3 months.
Here's the other rumor I hear. Bruins, Ekman-Larsson to Bruins.
Yeah, that's been going on for like 3 years. And it's like, and Arizona wants way too much, and Boston's like, no. And he only picks two teams he'll go to, and one of them's Boston. Boston's like, we're not giving you half our team for him. He's not worth $8 million.
Yeah, that's a big ticket.
For Boston?
Yeah.
And they have to pay. I mean, I don't think he's better than Carlo.
No. Well,
I mean, yeah.
Well,
he's definitely not better than Charlie Mack. So Charlie Mack's going to want $10 million. Charlie Mack should get $10 million. Charlie Mack should be – I think all the stats are like – he's like the best defenseman in hockey if you look at all the stats.
Like the analytical stats? Yeah, like the Corsi and the Fenwicks and all that stuff. Yeah. He's up there.
Besides the eye test, we're like, that guy's good.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a mathematician to figure that one out.
That's right.
Erickson Ek got a nice deal, 5.25 times 8. 8 years of him. I don't know. He had one good defensive year. I guess they like him in Minnesota. What do you think of that deal?
What is with Minnesota and locking people in for a decade?
Yeah.
Like
it's
when,
a long haul.
When are they gonna stop getting burnt by those deals?
And that was a Billy G move. I don't think $5 million's too much for him if he's gonna come in fifth in the Selke every year, but is he?
Well, if things don't work out in year two, it's not like, oh well, it's okay. It's only 6 more years. You know what I mean? Like, what if something does happen where the contract's a little bit untradeable? And again, it doesn't seem like that contract will be untradeable, which is why I'm sure they did it. They thought this is a tradable contract over the next 6-7 years. But I just think it's these guys who are pretty good getting long term commitments. And I love Tanev. It's just weird. It's just weird when these guys, these really good players getting 2 year commitments, and these kind of third line guys getting long 6-7 years.
He's making more than Tanev.
And 8 years is a long time.
Yeah, I mean, like 8 years.
Yeah.
Well, I think he deserved a little more than Tanev, but to have an 8-year term, it just seems long.
That's what I mean. Like, it can go bad in five years. You got him for 3 more years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And $5 million's not an easy. Caps going up to 130?
I mean, you're not a buyout market. You're not a market that can pull that trigger. Toronto can make these deals all day long because they'll just buy out.
Speaking of deals, they don't have to buy out, though, but Bjugstad, $900K to stay in Minnesota, I guess. Bjugstad.
They're just trying to field the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a nice year this year.
Andre Tourney, new coach of your Arizona Coyotes. He's on your payroll for seeing him at the company picnic.
Yes, I will see him. What do you think of that?
He was a really good coach in juniors. Or whatever the Ottawa 69s are, 79s, whatever the team is. you know, they weren't going to go out and pay for Mike Babcock, so I guess it's okay. You know, I don't know.
Pierre LeBrun put out an article saying about how starting with Hackstall and moving down the list, they're going with younger guys because they like the accountability on them. And right now the GMs are they're into the young guys. They're into the AHL coaches. They're not that into the NHL guys that have been fired recently.
Huh. Interesting.
It's interesting. We'll see. Like I said, I'm not trying to ruin. I'm not trying to put Rick in a corner when I'm on TV. If he wants to coach, he should coach. But I like to see Rick on TNT. And Barbecue's great on TV. He is good. It's got to be easy just to do TV. But I'm sure Barbecue wants back in the mix.
His son just won the ECHL championship, coaching the something Comets.
next week we will get to the Team One, Team Two, and the rookie team. I can see them. Team One, McJesus, Rat, Marner, Fox, Makar, Vasilevsky. Team Two, Huberdeau, Austin Matthews, Rantanen, Hedman, Dougie, and the Flower. Anything jump at you there?
Well, I know you're not happy about Dougie.
I'd love to be on that. Yeah, I mean, please join. I kept that clip from last week. I'm going to run as soon as the Flyers get him. I kept it on my computer. I'm shocked that Hedman didn't beat out Makar or Fox. I guess Fox won the Norris, but I don't know. Hedman, how can Hedman not be your number?
I agree
it's
on that.
Ridiculous.
I agree on that totally. Yeah, we all do.
They just like pushing the young guys. Yeah. I get it. There's a marketing.
Yeah,
there's
a marketing push. Level. That's a push.
What about, and then so here's your rookie. You had Kirill, the thrill, obviously. Norris, the kid up in Ottawa. Robertson, the kid in Dallas. Keandre, Ty Smith. Exactly, and Nedeljkovic. So, not exactly hammers on the back end, but
no, but they
up front, cool
stood out. And I guess was Byram not considered a rookie this year? Did he play enough?
And what
last
about
year?
Caulfield? Can't no?
Oh, no, he, no he'll win it next year.
Yeah.
If he doesn't win the MVP, he doesn't win the Hart next year.
That guy's so good.
We'll get to him. We got a couple awards, then we got to get out
of
here.
Should we say something? We better say something about Mattis.
I was going to right there.
Oh, before. I'm sorry.
No, please, Frazier. You're the captain of this team.
Such an awful thing that happened.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
I don't either. It was just awful. Wow. Poor guy. What can you even say?
No, and the tragedies with goaltenders in the NHL, I mean, obviously in Pittsburgh with Briere and Ray Emery, and I think there was even another Flyer goalie back in the day.
Oh, Pelle Lindbergh. I won't do that joke, but it's a great Penguin joke.
There's a lot of weird goalie death stories like that. It just adds to it.
Didn't Ray Emery drown?
Yeah, but I don't. And here's where I wish I knew the story better. It just seemed weird. Like he shouldn't have drowned. I don't remember what happened.
That was weird.
It was
yeah,
kind of a bizarre death. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all bizarre.
Too. This one was very bizarre.
No one ever. The 24-year guys don't die of natural causes. They all like car wrecks. Or,
yeah.
Well, our blessings go out to the family and just real
yeah,
sorry
absolutely.
About that.
I heard he was. Everyone's great when they die. But I've heard
guy,
he was
yeah,
a great guy.
That's what everybody says.
Great guy.
All right, do we have a Howie Young Award this week?
We do. Johnny T in attendance. John Travolta. I've done so many jokes about him, I feel like I know him. But
a lot of jokes about him, yeah.
He's in attendance and, you know, Johnny T playing the political card, not wearing a Tampa Bay Lightning, wearing like a Stanley Cup final with both teams on the T-shirt.
He is Switzerland.
Yeah. John worrying about ticket sales for Pulp Fiction 2 in Montreal.
I'm just glad he's there. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
it was cool. It was
Montreal has movie theaters too.
Yeah. Vinny's in the house.
The Korea will give to Coleman.
Yeah.
No Dirtbag, no Claude. The skirt, I'm going to give it to Gustafson, kind of. I won't play the music. I won't embarrass him too bad, but Gustafson, you can't let Tyler Johnson just dance you for 10 minutes.
He got danced,
And he got benched. There is the music. All right, saves. Game two, Vasily with the blocker and the arm on Suzuki, and then Anderson tried five-hole, no dice. Game four, Price on point in overtime on the power play with the right pad. And Price on Cooch from point early in the game, and Price on Coleman off his shoulder from Goudreau. both those earlier saves were huge because they kept Montreal ahead or at least even. I think it's key that Montreal does not have to come from behind ever.
That's important. Yeah.
Any thoughts? Are you going to go with
I just point because it could.
I think the point one.
That could have been the season.
Yeah.
All right. Goons. We got Sergeyev crushing Lekkonen, Stahl cross-checking Sergeyev, Kucho and Armia with the hip check. Kind of dirty. Savard crushing Perry, Sergeyev crushing Lekkonen, Weber point, Anderson, Hedman.
I may have an additional one.
Go ahead there.
Vasilevskiy giving Corey Perry that shot in the crease.
Yeah, absolutely.
Corey Perry's eyes were rolling.
All right. I will be at the Comedy Store Saturday. I'm in La Playa tonight.
I am at the Improv tomorrow night and again on Saturday night in Hollywood.
Right on.
And I'll be tomorrow night at the Comedy Cottage hosted by Maddie Fontana. And there's a special headliner. I can't say who it is, but it's a big name, so come out.
All right.
All right. Well, you know, go see the guy from go see what's his name from Entourage. Jeremy Piven will be in there.
Yeah. I'm positive it's not Jeremy Piven. If I can put one thing out there, it's not going to be Jeremy Piven. Okay. So don't come because of that.
All right, here we go. Some real quick stats we got out of here. Here's defenseman leading all time or whatever for like the last 20 years, maybe all time. Hedman, 88 points in 130 games. Duncan Keith, 86 and 135. Letang, 86 and 142. And Letang missed. They won the cup in 17. He'd probably have more. All time wins since the salary cap. Pens 100, Bruins 90, Tampa 83, Hawks 80, Sharks 80, Ducks 70. Here you go. Since 2013-14, Cooch 127, Sid 86, Hedman 82, Gino 77, Ovi 74, .73. Last game one, I should have said last week. These are the game ones when Hall of Famers faced off, or I'm sorry, Vezina's faced off. Price versus Vasilevskiy this time. Balfour, Hasek, 99. Waugh, Beezer, 96. Barrasso, Balfour, 92. Dryden, Espo, 73. Here's your Cole Caulfield love. First rookie ever to have three overtime points
wow.
in a playoff
season. Yeah, how about
season.
That? Yeah,
and here's a big one. This is Montreal. This ain't your Tampa Bay Lightning stats. This isn't your Minnesota Wild stats. Montreal rookies, 12 for Cole Caulfield, 12 and 19. Claude, 16 and 20. Lemaire, 13 and 13.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we don't forget we have our contest.
Next week. It's going to be over by next week.
Yeah, man. So get ready for that. We have some cool prizes for the Puck Off fans. We want to thank everybody, Joe Bartnick, Andy Beccaro, Aaron, our great producer, all the people at All Things Comedy, Puck Off fans everywhere, and enjoy Game 5 tonight. Should be real interesting. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. We are Puck Off. We are out.